We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
Hello and welcome to the Mind of Magnus. Our show has a simple premise. We're here to share the stories and life adventures of others to help expand our minds. I'm Matt Austin, and here's your host, Magnus.
Hello, hello, folks. Welcome again to an edition of Mind of Magnus, coming to you from the High Falls area here in Rochester, New York, which is the home of creepy, weird spiritualism, bizarre stuff, and just a lot of weird, awesome people. A lot of those weird, awesome people actually have been sending in cool factoids, and I appreciate the heck out of that. Been emailing mindofmagnus@gmail.com. They are also sending in their factoids to the factoid hotline, 585-310-2473. Feel free to add your own. I've been getting text messages on it. I would love to get some more voicemails if you guys want to send those in, but I have been enjoying collecting the factoids you guys have been sending in. So today is going to be a Factoid Friday for your ears. And these are all coming in from listeners who sent in emails since last time I've been here. And it's been a little while, and I do apologize for it. The world has been kind of chaotic. And what can I say? It's also, I've been realizing I should take some time for myself. I'm realizing I have to put some of that energy, which is needed elsewhere, into helping those going through a lot. So there's a lot happening in this world right now. And I don't know, you guys are amazing. The Patreon folks, I've had some conversations with a lot of people in the background here who have actually just come to listen from the show, which I blew my mind. And thank you to all who've been writing. I truly, truly appreciate how open and the reason I say this is that the internet is just full of idiots. We all know this. And I have been online less and less because the comment threads, and maybe be bots or something else, the comments coming at me are either so taxingly dumb to have to respond to, people talking at like a 10-year-old, 12-year-old's level, it is just soul-sucking. Or it's bots, where it's clearly bots, where it's been AI have been messaging and commenting and just, oh my God, sorry. So yeah, I've been taking some time away from the internet, away from comments. I didn't check my email for weeks, which I know a lot of people will be very envious for having me hear that. I did other stuff during that time, but my emails went a little, I set them aside for a bit. I had a few things I had posted online went, maybe not, I wouldn't say the word viral, but they got enough eyes and attention that either the bot shared them out or someone had CC'd, for lack of a better term, others. And it was really an eye-opener to see people cheering for the harm of others. It was just, I don't know, society has let a lot of people down. The youth of America being one of them, and watching them comment and people who are just having no compassion towards our fellow man, our planet, or a bunch of other things, fill in blank here of what they seem apathetic towards. It was disparaging, to say the least. It was something that I decided to take a step back from the online world and put my energy into the real world. I have been working with projects a lot already this past year. I have been working with the Teen Empowerment Group here in Rochester to work on an art park. I'm having meetings dealing with working with teenagers from the city, and it just has been filling my heart with a lot more hope. I guess that's the word I should be using here. And it's nice. The teens are teens, you know, from probably 14 on to 16, 17. And it is amazing to hear their stories from their perspective, and it made me realize what I have in my life and what I'm appreciative for. But it also made me realize that we don't fight enough and help those who have just in bad spots. We have really failed the younger generation quite a bit. A couple of kids I've worked with are telling stories about their home life or why they enjoy being at the these like after school centers for like, you know, rock centers or entertainment spots for here in Rochester, like sports and games and a place to be warm. There's snacks. There's just a bunch of stuff. And hearing their stories have really connected, really made me feel honored to be there in the first place. And then really hopeful for projects, endeavors. It's going to be a long road on the project I'm working on. I'll tell more as the year unfolds here. But it is nice to work with these young people that really are shining examples of how you can overcome adversity and be appreciative of what you're staring at, and just so many things. So this whole thing is a long ramble just to say that I have been taking some time to get back in the world around me, into my community, and I appreciate everyone who I have talked with, some of the Patreon backers, just other folks that have followed me on social that have just people who've been helpful to helping making my the studio, the show, the everything come together. And you guys are amazing. I thank you for this. I was very, very happy to see someone as excited as I was when I was telling about the projects I was working on and what do we be expecting here in the future. So you guys, thank you. I'm trying to think of other stuff since I've last been on the air here. Between the last show and now, there was the City of Rochester had their Best Of, I was nominated for Best Artist of the City of Rochester. And the second thing I was nominated for was, this one is rather big, so I hold it in a rather high regard. It was the Best Artist and Cultural Community Leader of Rochester. I did not even expect that to happen. This is how funny it was. The Best Of thing came out, and I'm laying in bed, and people text me like, hey, the Best Of thing's out, and they hadn't looked through it yet. So I'm in bed in the morning looking through, and you know, and oddly enough, artist, it comes first in the first grouping and a bunch of stuff that way. So the funny thing is I'm laying there flipping through, and artist is within the first probably six or seven. It's not that far into it. I see my name. I'm like, actually, I didn't think I was going to get it. I thought maybe it was going to happen, but I didn't know. I'm super excited. I take a screenshot. I post about it. I talk about it. I'm really excited. And, so I send a note to my buddy, Sean Dunwoody, who is also on the list. And he responds back. He's like, yeah, congrats. We're nominated for two things in here. And I'm like, two things? Artist and what? Best Beard? I had not looked past my own name of the artist. This is how egocentric might I be. I don't know. But I didn't expect to be anything else. I just knew it was artist. I did not know. And weirdly enough, the next option past artist was arts and cultural community leader. So I had already posted about being nominated for best artist, not realizing I had been nominated for something, two things on there. And I will say to you that being nominated was truly a thing that hit me in a way that I will say is moving. It wasn't just like kind of art, and there's so many talented artists in the city. And I know, as everyone always says, it's kind of a popularity contest. And so the marketing guy in me is always happy being nominated for artist. I use it a bit of spite against some of my previous people I've worked with that never thought I was valid of a creator. So that has been something that way. But to be written in by people to be nominated the top four list of names for arts and cultural community leader did not did not even enter my brain as a thing that could would be for me. Despite it, it's something that I truly love to do. I love community. It's my thing. I really want to be part of the community here and be a positive thing, to make positive ripples in this city. So I was nominated for it. The voting went strong. I thought I probably would get maybe the art community one. I actually was kind of hopeful for it. I really was. Sadly enough, I did not take either one of those. They were Sean Dunwoody scooped both of those. And hey, I am glad he did it. I saw him. When it happened, I gave a big hug, cheered him on. Afterwards, we went to a party, hung out and drank, and we had a great time. And that's how I am, how Sean and I are. He is a talented artist. He does community stuff. He makes things happen. I was honored to be amongst that four. I didn't have to win to know that something must be going right and things must be, I must be making positive ripples in my community to be nominated that way. It was myself, Sean Dunwoody, Blue Cease from the Roco, and Thomas Warfield, who was just, all three of those men are people who are truly cultural leaders. The title is accurate. And just having my name next to it blew me away. So I'm still taking it as a win, being nominated as one of the best community leaders in a city. In a city. I mean, I always remember, Rochester is a little city, but it's a city. And it's a popular little city. You know, this is the city that when the, as an example for size, when the nuclear bombs went off in, unfortunately, World War II, they gave, like, the Hiroshima, the size of the cities, and they gave three similar size cities to that the entire nation would know. So the city of Rochester was popular enough to be listed amongst Akron, Ohio, and Seattle, Washington, which is kind of cool to think about, that the city was well known enough in World War II that it was used for examples and things.
Hey, it's Pauly Guglielmo, host of the Pauly Guglielmo Show here on the Lunchador Podcast Network and founder of Guglielmo Sauce, owner of Craft Cannery, bottling many of your favorite local and regional sauces, dressings, and marinades. You can find Guglielmo's at any area Wegmans or at many local mom and pops around the city.
But that leads us into our factoid corners here. So I want to send a thank you to all those who sent an email in with factoids for me. We have one that I definitely want to give a shout out to. I got a few messages in from Tom of the Squatch Watchers. I don't know what the group that was. He sent it in. But he had a great time. He found the show from the Matt Pruitt interview, and he's been following along. He actually is a person that is apparently from the region. And he is looking forward to hearing more random, weird, creepy stuff like cryptids. So we're going to be fulfilling his needs at some point as well. So, Tom, thank you so much for sending in these factoids. I want to give a special shout-out because he has been sending very cool stuff, a lot of cool links. Here's a cool factoid I want to get out there. It actually comes in a bunch of texts. Actually, this is a conversation I've been having a bunch with Gemini here from the Factoid Hotline. But So here's a weird one from Gemini, who thinks we're going to rattle some historians' cages here. It's one of my favorite things, is those out-of-time objects or things that seem to rewrite history. Gemini writes, "Hey, Magnus, you mentioned on previous shows about the Kensington Runestone, which was found in Minnesota in 1898. She goes, "Hey, have you seen the new facts on it?" And I actually had not. This actually blew my mind. Those who don't know, the Kensington Runestone, it's like a 200-pound rock they found in Minnesota. It's like 14 miles from the water. And in it is actually literally a note from a group, supposedly a note from a group of Norse explorers that were deep, what is inside now of Minnesota. And this was like supposedly pre-Columbus. In there is actually a list of things that, it's not a symbolic message. It is like a crime scene log. It names the explorers. It describes a fishing trip gone wrong, about claims 10 men were killed. It even asks for the Virgin Mary's protection and then casually just drops a date in there. And the date in there is 1362. And this is where Gemini's notes coming in, that the So in this thing, like I said, the whole thing talks about this mixed group of Norwegians and Goths, the Swedes. And that kind of matches the Scandinavian politics grouping for 1362. The language on this is like older runes and then later linguistical forms. And that is where a lot of the hang-up got stuck on it. It's where people thought, well, this word's not clearly this, and this word is clearly a newer one. And now we're going back and revisiting, and we realize there was a typo in the note written. There was an X with two dots on the stone, but when they wrote it, it was an X without the two dots that you couldn't quite see from the right light and the angles and stuff. So historians lumped this word without the two dots as a certain word, and they thought that was a newer word. The two with the two dots, which the stone has, is a slight different translation and fits with the language from that time. So a lot of the things they point out in there, like the one part that says the phrase they are asking for, I have an exact translation here, goes, I'll give actually the exact translation, straightforward, and I'll get into the Gemini's addition to this. It goes, roughly translated, eighth Goths, and that's the type of thing, not goth kids from a club. Feel free to envision eight goth kids against, like, Norwegians if you want to. It helps in the mental mind here. But there's eight Goths and 22 Norwegians on an exploration journey from Vinland westward. We had a camp by two Skerries, S-K-E-R-R-I-E-S, Skerries, one day's journeys north from this stone. We were out fishing one day. When we came home, we found 10 men red with blood and dead. AVM, save us from evil. Here's the thing. AVM is a statement, is a name used for the literally Mary, like the Holy Mother Mary. AVM is Ave Virgo Maria. It's a medieval Christian shorthand and not something a 19th century Midwestern farmer would have likely even thought about. But they say, AVM, save us from evil. Have 10 men by the sea to look after our ship. 14 days journey from this island, year 1362. So Gemini's factoid, this whole conversation with her and I has been amazing because the 1362 is a very specific date. And a lot of the details in there, the language used, does fit perfectly with it. Also, what people don't realize is that when you're carving into stone and leaving, humans had to realize that they couldn't just trust the number written in the, you know, signing it with the year 1362 is very handy to do, but someone could always go in and change stuff, recarve it, change the 6 to a 9 or a 6 to an 8 and stuff over. So Gemini sends this link in showing that there is a very specific hidden language amongst runestones that's showing that letters with little accent marks. So if looking at, say, an example, say an X, and on the lower right-hand side of the X, there's a little curly Q sticking out of it. That little curly Q is actually a hidden date marker in the rune itself. So if you look through the lettering on there, there are single little markers that have been placed there by the author that if you read it right, you can see in there is the date hidden among the text. If you don't understand their little hidden marker system, you don't know what you're looking for. So this is literally a watermark. This is a date watermark hidden amongst the lettering in there. And if you want to go online, I have the study. I'll post about it on one of the some of the social feeds here. I'll put a link for it in here. But sure enough, if you look at it and you look at those notes, you look a little, there's a couple asterisks, a little curly tail here, and a dot or a dash. Those numbers add up to one, or they don't just add up to it. They show 1362. Literally, you would have to know the specific language. And now knowing this and the other information that they kind of found amongst the writing, they now think they know the island that these Norwegian folks came from. So Gotland Island, it's this island out in the Baltic areas, and it is close to Sweden, and it's actually just south of Stockholm. And using this lettering, they have the little X with the two dots over it. There's an R with a dot over it. They realize that it comes from this region, and this region has those telltale date markers on ancient letterings from around this time. Around 1300, 100 AD, this was used by seafaring people to inscribe areas and to ensure that the date written down and the date in the text is the same. So it ensured that the person who was there was speaking the truth. You knew it was from someone that was from your area. So many little details on this are amazing. And it is shocking. And Gemini has been rambling and I back and forth about this. Truly, it's a wonderful thing that the science is showing that we now have in 1362 Vikings in Minnesota. And we've had like axes. We've had other items and tools that kind of show like it may have been Vikings in this region before. Or, you know, it could have been like the swords are one thing that you could have been, it could have been sold, could have been trade that could have gotten through there. But now we have Minnesota Vikings, not just the football team. So that comes from Gemini. Thank you so much for that. That's phenomenal.
Are you ready for a podcast that's real and empowering?
Getting Real with Bossy brings bold, honest conversations with business owners who are building big dreams and doing it their way.
No fluff, just truth, energy, and inspiration.
Hit play and get lifted.
And I want to send a little thank you out to, again, for Tom, for the Squatch Watch team. He sent in a factoid that also ties in with a large furry biped that caught me off guard. So his message is that scientists have named a new deep-sea coral species, and the Latin name's a little rough, so Indigorgia chewbacca. Yep, named after Star Wars Wookiee himself because it has the shimmering, fuzzy branches that look like hair kind of waving on the floor. So the scientists thought it looked a bit like Chewbacca. So Tom, and he has an affinity for those big furry bipeds walking around. He wanted to say that we now have a Chewbacca sea coral out there. So another factoid kind of ties in with the word cryptid and cryptic. This is a crazy thing. We're getting further down the rabbit hole of DNA. We work actually with the Seneca Park Zoo here in Rochester. We work with eDNA, where you take a sample of the water, the land, everything around it. And from that example, you can actually see what DNA exists in it. So it's actually a really amazing thing. We've been using it to look for local, like the animals you may not be able to see normal, like river otters and those sort of stuff, something that's still kind of hidden away. When you take the water sample, you can find the DNA from the animal in there. We have type examples, so we know exactly what the DNA is. So this one sounds fake, but it's not. The scientists recently confirmed that there's some animals we thought were single species for decades are actually multiple completely different species all hiding in plain sight. Using these new genetic tools, the researchers kind of discovered these cryptic species. And these are animals that look identical to us, like birds that look very similar, other sorts of things. They behave the exact same way, leave in the exact same places, but are biologically as different as wolves are to coyotes. So imagine that. We have species that are so dissimilar, but look so similar, that fooled us for many, many years. The examples that Tom sent in were a type of owl monkeys in South America. All of them originally classified as just one or two species, but we now know there are at least 10 genetically different species that just evolved so similarly that to our eyes, and we thought they were the same one. They're kind of all gray-brown, kind of eerily similar, pretty much isolated the same sort of way. The other example he sent in was these, in Europe, they're very relatively common frog, they thought, where genetic studies kind of found out that these frogs are actually six separate species, all hiding under the exact same appearance. They've evolved for whatever reason, be it either mimicry to survive, competition. There's a theory that some of the competitors, the females look good enough that the males from the other species will try to breed with them, and since they can't breed together, it is it takes the males out of the gene pool. But they, you know, so it's a way of lowering it down, or perhaps that this is a way for crossbreeding to happen to make stronger genetics. Science is getting a hold of it now. We're still trying to learn about it. But yeah, so Tom sent in a handful of random facts all about cryptic creatures, and why we should have more cryptid topics on this show. So Tom, thank you so much. And for the final factoid, this one comes in. So shout out to our listener from the Rochester region. I love the rock folks here. There's no name, so I decided to call him Laser Larry. Because right here in upstate New York, researchers and innovators are pushing the frontier of laser and optic technology in a way that could change how we see the world and like how we build our future. A Rochester-based scientific coalition just reached the final round of the National Science Foundation's prestigious innovation competition, which is a project called Stellar. and it's aimed at turning this region into a national hub for advanced laser research and manufacturing of said lasers and computers. So if funded, this could mean the breakthroughs in everything from precision machines to precision medicine and quantum computing to next generation sort of communications using telecommunication via quantum entanglement and discussions this way. It is crazy to hear about. So Larry, thank you for sending this in. And all this is coming out of a place that is actually the former Kodak buildings we have. So we have amazing tech being brought to the Rochester area thanks to the National Science Foundation. So in today's world, I'll take some wins for any sort of science and education. So Laser Larry, thank you so much for sending it in. And I can't wait to see what our future holds for that. Some lasers. Okay, folks, I want to thank everyone for messaging in. These factoid shows will be happening more frequently. I'm trying to get back in the habit of recording. I want to keep doing this more and more because I miss doing it. You guys still send me notes. I get factoids all the time on the factoid hotline number. And email mindofmagnus@gmail.com to share your stuff, your thoughts. I do want to have some more guests on. I have some interviews kind of sitting in the can that I need to do some finalizations on. A few of them are kind of waiting there. I did some interviews, and they are asking me to hold for a little longer because they want to do some other work on the projects before we talk about them. The trouble with having some scoops on some of this stuff is that sometimes I can't post right away on them because I need to wait until they release the news and they put it on the press releases go out the door. So I'd love to be ahead of the curve, but sometimes it's taxing being the guy with the really awesome interview sitting, you know, in the file, just ready to go, sitting in the can. So, oh my God, I don't know. But you guys are amazing. Thank you so much. Follow me on Patreon. Message me there if you want to. Mind of Magnus on Patreon. You can follow me, Magnus Apollo, everything else. Matt's going to give you the full rundown of all the fun ways of getting a hold of me. But don't be a stranger. Please go out there and take care of yourself. We are going through some tough times right now with things happening in Minnesota. It's been very stressful. We are a sanctuary city here in Rochester, and I take that very seriously. We are a compassionate city. We worry about others. A little factoid, extra factoid at the end of this is we're a city that's where food stamps came from. We decided and we realized early on that feeding the those unfortunate folks who are down on their luck makes everyone better because we're all doing better. So that's why I appreciate the city I am in. So thanks so much, guys. I will see you guys all next week.
Do you have a crazy story, odd factoid, or want to share something you think will help expand the mind of Magnus? Let us know! Call our voicemail, 585-310-2473, visit mindofmagnus.com, or message us on social media at Magnus Apollo.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.